WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. It's been a long and busy week for everybody here. Basketball offseason in full effect. Some transfers, some freshman signings. Women's lacrosse, men's lacrosse, crazy triple-header weekend with spring football in the Dome. That all behind us now. We're looking ahead to Colgate and Boston College coming up tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. Syracuse women's lacrosse, big game. I guess this afternoon because they start at 5. So that'll be a fun one. Maybe Syracuse can finish its regular season off strong. I think we can finally have excitement when we're talking about the weather. I mean, oh boy, has it been nice. Dude. Is peak weather. We're getting 70s and consecutive days, maybe even three. We might be starting a streak of 70
Rip,
degree days.
I don't want to cut you off, but I saw 80 in the forecast this week.
There's
a chance we touch 80.
Okay, don't get my hopes up. But, it could happen. It could happen. Unfortunately, if it touches 80 this weekend, I won't be here. I'm off to Las Vegas for the weekend, for an academic trip, I would say. I'm not 21 yet, so I'm not going to enjoy the full Vegas experience. Maybe that's a good thing for our listeners that we will have a podcast next week. I can confirm that. But it's been busy, like we mentioned. Syracuse men's basketball has been busy. Jerry McNamara has his staff. We talked about that last week. They added a new member to its staff, director of alumni and player engagement, Ryan Blackwell, who's has some connections to Syracuse. Obviously, spent last season with Siena with Jerry McNamara, but more so on the player side, there's a couple of names that have joined the Orange this week. I want to start with my guy. I think this might be my guy for next season. I'm not going to predict anything or jump the gun on that a little bit just to see who else Syracuse gets. But Ryan Mesh, little 6-foot point guard from Chittenango, New York, local kid, was a top 150 prospect according to 24/7 Sports. Previously committed to Siena, 4-star recruit. He's a 6-foot point guard. He's athletic, shifty. He's a lefty. Can shoot the ball a little. Really good finisher and playmaker. That might be my guy. I don't know if there's a transfer that you are sticking out to you or.
I mean, first of all, Mesh, he was the highest rated commit in Siena history.
It
sucks for the Saints. I mean, they lose their coach that year. They lose their highest rated recruit as well. Yeah, I mean, looking at this roster, Griffin, it's not great yet. I mean, I'm going to be honest, there's no Power 4 recruits, no Power 5 recruits coming in yet. It's really not a great roster for me yet. I look at, Garwee Duwall from McNeese and Aiden Tobiasen from Temple. I think those are two solid pieces. It really just I don't even know who really starts on this team yet. Obviously Doty's in the lineup. Sadiq's probably in the lineup, but Like, is
It's
Tasman Gudrick your starting five? Like,
no.
that's what it is right now.
Yes, but they still have some numbers to play with that. I think it's interesting the way Syracuse has approached the transfer portal and recruiting this year. We got Triple M coming.
Sure, yeah.
What role he plays, I mean, I don't think anybody will know. Maybe that's the fun of it. Mentioned Garway Dual, point guard for McNeese, averaged 8 points, 4 assists, a steal and a half per game.
A
What
good
we've heard
defensive
about
player.
him, he's a really good defender.
Yeah.
Can't really score the ball. 4.5 assists is promising. But he's also coming from McNeese State, so we don't really know how good he's going to be. If he's your home opener or season opener starting point guard, I would not be too impressed. I think Tobiasen's an interesting name. Wasn't ranked that highly out of high school, but Temple's about the best mid-major that you can be in terms of like close to power conference. Temple's a
Yeah.
very good program. They're I mean, maybe not wins wise, but historically. And so getting a guy like him, he was a 4-star transfer prospect, put up close to 20 points per game last season. He's a bucket. And I think he's going to be a good 2-guard, a guy that Kyan can learn from. And okay, this guy has scored high double figures in college basketball, maybe help Kyan get to that number. Obviously, you mentioned Goodrick. I mean, Syracuse needs a big man. I think two, if we're being honest. But that kind of leads us into the newest member of the Syracuse basketball team, Josh. I want to get your thoughts on, they've gone internationally in the past. Syracuse has done that with Marek Dolezal and Peter Majstorovic. We saw it not work out with him and Luke Fennell. Dolezal is probably one of the bigger names in recent Syracuse history from international waters. But I'm again, just like with Triple M, we're gonna probably butcher this, but Abdramane Sibi is probably how I'm gonna say it until we get an official
Abdramane,
word.
maybe? Abdramane.
Abdramane. We'll keep it covered. But when I was watching his highlights, he's unranked from Serbia, played basketball over in Serbia. And so when I was watching his highlights, I was like, this guy can hoop. He played in Serbia's top league last year, didn't average great stats, averaged like 2.5 fouls in 12 minutes. I was like, okay, well, we're going back to
Little
Syracuse
Sadiq
basketball.
White. Little Sadiq White action
Exactly.
there.
No, if he's your backup or third string center, I don't think anyone's gonna complain too much. I think the big question is, and you said Syracuse doesn't have a power forward. I would think Sadiq White can be that guy. You
Yeah, I
slide.
think he does start at power forward.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's just 8 or 9 players right now. It just doesn't
I
feel like
agree.
there's really much like, I mean, it's hard to say there's no chemistry because like obviously that's like not really true because I mean every team is brand new right now. I mean, there's teams where there's like no returners at all, and Syracuse has 2 returners. But yeah, I mean, is Sibby gonna play a lot his freshman year? Like I don't know. It's interesting because I mean Sheffing Diawara was a 7-footer, but he wasn't even in the rotation last year. I mean, you had Will Kyle at 6'9". He was your tallest player. So you get a guy like Sibby who's, 7 feet tall. Maybe he does press the rotation for some minutes next year. And I mean, honestly, with how little I would say the expectations are for year one, I think there's a good
Well,
chance we see a good mix of everyone in year one because I mean you look at what McNamara did at Siena in year one. I mean, it was really just about, kind of changing the focus of that program and kind of setting them up for year two. I mean, I know
you
it's your senior
see,
year, Griffin. I know it's your senior year and
okay.
you're really looking forward to Syracuse winning the national title. I'm here to tell you it's probably not going to happen.
So you still think the expectations are going to be low for year one? Now, let me add something to that. I think both last year and this year, you only kept 2 players. Now, last
Well,
year you
Noah
kept
Lobdell is still on the roster, so it's technically three.
two rotational players. Happy. But last year it was JJ Starling, who was coming off a very promising year and showing that, okay, maybe he can take that next step. No, obviously it didn't happen. But also Donnie Freeman, who was highest ranked recruit since Carmelo, a very talented ACC player, And so you're like, okay, if those are the two guys I'm keeping, I'm happy. This season, the two guys that you're keeping, rotational pieces, Kyan Anthony and Sadiq White, both unproven freshmen that showed some promise, but not to the level of JJ Starling and Donnie Freeman of a year ago. So, like, yeah, Syracuse has some work to do to build this roster. And if you're just looking at the guys that they've brought in, I'm not too convinced that any of them move the needle. If we're
I'm
comparing.
happier now. I'm happier that it's Kyan and Sadiq than JJ and Donnie. JJ and Donnie missed like a quarter to a half of the games that they were here due to injury.
But wouldn't you agree that JJ and Donnie were just better basketball
Well, I
players?
mean, Donnie Freeman's a five-star recruit, and JJ was in his fourth season. So yeah, I think they were obviously better basketball players. Does that mean that Kyan and Sadiq won't get there? No, I think they do eventually. I mean, Kyan Anthony, phenomenal recruit, and we saw the start of his freshman season, and he looked like he was going to be, pretty close to what his dad was, and obviously kind of tailed off there later in the season. And then Sadiq White, I think we just didn't get to see him enough. I mean, he played like 14 minutes a game last year. I mean, he should have easily been in the starting lineup by the end of the season with how things were going. So I would have loved to have seen more of him. And I think now that he's going to be a main rotational piece and he can get 30 to 32 minutes a game, I think we're going to see that. And I think you're going to be more impressed with Sadiq White than you were with Donnie Freeman.
One would hope. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
clearly we were not that impressed with Donnie last year. And he has all the talent in the world, and we hope he does well, whether that's at UConn or Kentucky. Seems like those two are
Or
the
Bama.
really, I mean,
Yeah.
Bama might be up there. He was at Kentucky yesterday or the day before.
Rumored to go to
It's
UConn tomorrow as well, so.
no shock that Donnie's going to get those top power major conference offers. We hope him the best. Maybe Josh is a little shocked.
All right, about the outgoings too. I mean, I'm just
Yeah.
curious your thoughts here. I know Nate George was linked to Kentucky at the start of the cycle. He ends up at Pitt. Just feels like poor Nate George just bouncing around some of the bottom feeder teams of the
Well,
ACC as of recent.
I think Pitt is just rebuilding that 2023, 2020, or 2024, 2025 Georgia Tech team. They brought in
Oh,
I think Bay Dongo and a couple other guys. It's just
really?
like, all right, what? Well, this is what this is in the NIL era when Pitt is not really putting too much resources into college basketball. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have guys that Nate George has proved that he could play in the ACC. Last year didn't have a great season, but it wouldn't shock me if Nate George went to Pitt and averaged like 14 and 7.
Yeah.
Would not shock me. It would also not shock me if he averaged like 10 and 5 with a couple turnovers and poor shooting efficiency. So, I mean, that's the thing. In terms of other transfers, I guess this is not last year, but we saw Peter Majstorovic go to Pepperdine, which is always kind of cool to check in with guys
Dan
that.
Ingolstadt went there as an assistant,
Exactly.
so he
Chance
rejoined them.
Westry is now going to Xavier.
Yeah, can we
So,
talk about that?
sure. Go ahead.
Chance Westry played 11 minutes when he was at Syracuse. He was a top 50 transfer in this cycle.
He
I
played
know there was
well.
some health. I know there was some health concerns with him when he was here.
A
But
lot of health concerns.
when he what ha like what happened? Like he was here and Autry didn't play him at all. He
He
goes to UAB and he averages 16, 4, and 6.
with the, there were I, I'm there were some serious health concerns there, and I don't think that it was really a matter of can he play? It was a matter of like, is he medically allowed to play? And so, that's it stinks because, he was a guy that went to Auburn, had medical issues there, but showed a lot of promise and just never appeared. Tyler Betsey committed to BYU. I think he's a guy that you weren't really shocked was going to get another power conference experience. BYU has their fair share of NIL resources. Betsey, no, I think in a different basketball scheme, and I think in a different era of Syracuse basketball, Betsey would have been a great player here.
Yeah.
Shot 40% from three. I just think it's hard when your guards are competing for the ball, and Nate George was supposed to find Betsey three, four times a game in the corner, and it just didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate for them. Obviously, Donnie's still uncommitted. A couple other guys still uncommitted. But that's really
So, and
all.
Luke Fennell as well. He was a guy that entered pretty early. Just Kind of an interesting one. I thought he was a wild card. Maybe he could end back up and end up at Syracuse when it's all said and done, but nothing from him yet. And then obviously your boy Kier Suarez.
Yeah. No word. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Pitt. Not gonna lie. Join his Georgia Tech teammates over in Pittsburgh. On the women's side, not a lot of news. I thought we would expect, and I expected we had more by now. One pickup for Syracuse, Sarah Rambis from Oregon. So maybe Syracuse women's basketball finding a little more experience at the power conference level. Didn't play a whole lot, averaged about 6 points, three rebounds. For the Ducks, but I mean Syracuse, they're gonna have to get a lot of names with so many of the outgoing transfers that Coach Jack did not bring back. So I found it weird that's moving a little slower than men's basketball. I mean, maybe that's just the nature of it. Some of these schools, women's basketball revenue share budgets, maybe going up, maybe going down. We don't really know. So that's just interesting with Coach Jack only having one addition so far. I'm not too worried about that team though. We saw Sophie Burrows go to North Carolina. That is interesting. I knew Sophie Burrows had a down year, but for her to go to such no, UNC hasn't been amazing at women's basketball, but it's still UNC. So when they get a name like Sophie Burrows, it's always going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, good thing about staying home in the ACC is, they'll get to play each other next year, so we'll get to see,
True.
is Coach Jack gonna assemble an Avengers team that can take down some of these ACC teams where, Sophie Burrows and maybe some of these other players end up at, and she's big on like receipts and everything. Like she's very big into, the media and kind of, defending her turf. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know she respects. I mean, Sophie was here for 3 years, but there's definitely going to be some added motivation. I don't think FLJ expected this squad to basically disintegrate at the end of the season. I mean, I think she expected to return most of this team, and this era, it's just not the case. One name that is in the portal that wouldn't this be awesome? Audie Crooks is in the portal. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if after
Uche and
the
Audi.
instant classic that Uche and Audie gave the fans, if Audie came to Syracuse and then made one of the best post combos in women's basketball history, that would be incredible.
I'm not sure it's gonna happen. I think whoever Audie Crooks goes to is gonna it'll be interesting, just her style of play and if colleges want to play that brand of basketball. Obviously, it's worked. So Iowa State's made the NCAA tournament. Audie Crooks has been an All-American, so you can't deny that. I don't know how her fit with Uche Azoje. Maybe that's a big question for Coach Jack to figure out. But who knows? I've seen weirder things happen in college basketball. Spring game happened. I think it was as exciting as last year's spring game, so I think we're gonna move on from that. Big names didn't really play. No Antoine
But 400
Deloye.
pound players returned punts, so.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Off to Syracuse men's lacrosse. Now ranked back in the top five at number
Big win.
five. A huge win over
Lars.
Virginia. I was blanking for a second. Over Virginia, 14-9 win against Lars Tiffany. If you want to listen to our interview last week, make sure to do that with Coach Tiffany previewing that game. But I would say it's the Jimmy McCool game. Great bounce back from a poor performance against North Carolina. He had 18 saves, a season high. The defense looked really stellar against a Virginia team that was red hot entering this one. It was just like a good day to be in the dome. John Desko, obviously the Ring of Honor. Syracuse really showed up and came to compete.
I was really impressed. Yeah, like you said, it was a McCool game. You kind of were, not like worried about him, but like he had a game last year where he got benched, so there was obviously some, similar feelings. Like, is he seeing the ball well enough to be the goalie? I know, Ip got some run down in North Carolina, but I think there was a lot of, pressure riding on the fact that, McCool is going to be in net again, and we're going to need to see some improvements. And I think it helps when you play at home because this team is really, really good at home. And I think he kind of got the crowd behind him early on in the game, made a couple of stops in the first quarter, and he really just kind of controlled the entire game. I mean, 18 saves. I mean, that was a pretty incredible performance from him. And I think he kind of kickstarted that. And on the offensive side of things, I mean, what more needs to be said? I mean, we are now probably 5 to 7 minutes of game action away from having a new points leader at Syracuse. Spelina was fantastic again, and I think he would have had the record in this
He should
game.
have. 100%.
He had a crease violation in the first quarter where he scored, and it got called back. And then at the end of the game, he dished off to, I think it was Michael Leo, who just hits the post on an empty net from about 20 feet away, 15 feet away. So it'll be fun though. I mean, I'm sure the crowd will be. I'm sure there'll be a great crowd for an SU Colgate game. And I wonder if any of the Powells will be in attendance for that. That surely will be fun to have legends in the dome back to back weeks. And this Colgate team obviously no slouch, Griffin. I mean, they play a tough schedule. They have a ranked win, so they don't have the
Yeah.
Connor. They don't have the Connor brothers anymore, though.
No, that's the big thing. Last year, they went 10-8, made the NCAA tournament, won the Patriot League, lost to Penn State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You mentioned no Connor brothers as they departed to Georgetown, but this is a good team. They've played Penn State close. They put up goals against Virginia. And overall, although they beat Boston University, who Syracuse obviously beat earlier in the season, this is a team that is going to show up, give Syracuse its best. I wouldn't be surprised if Colgate manages to keep it within 5 or 6 goals and test Syracuse, which I think would be a good thing, honestly. I'm not too worried. I think this should be a game where Joey can get that points record out so that it can be no not a discussion anymore. You can focus on Notre Dame and then the ACC and NCAA tournaments. It'll be interesting. I'm really hoping that John Mullen can get back to where he was last year. I think this will be a good opportunity to do so in the dome against a non-ACC team, have some success. Both of Colgate's Fogos are under 50% on the season. So it'll be interesting. Kyle Rummer and Fisher Burke are not two of the best Fogos in the country. It'll be interesting. Obviously, I think this team will go as far as his offense goes, but a lot of that depends on Jimmy McCool making stops, its defense locking down, and John Mullen giving them possessions. So it'll be interesting on this game. That is opening faceoff at 5 o'clock, McClure Remodeling countdown to faceoff at 4:30. Let me double check that.
Yeah, that's
Should be
right.
right. Yep. That should be a fun one on Saturday. And then Syracuse, wait, before we skip the tournaments across, the PLL draft was
Oh yeah.
a couple days ago. We had four Syracuse players get five
Dante
because
Bowen.
Dante Bowen. Don't forget about Dante Bowen. First off, the fact Riley Figueres was not drafted is a
Yeah, what is
travesty. I don't know if he told teams, maybe he wants to go into investment banking or something.
that?
But if Riley Figueres wanted to get drafted, the fact that he didn't is complete and utter disrespect to probably the best defenseman in the country, I will say. And so I know Joey Spina, obviously, third overall pick. People thought he was going to go one. People thought his dad,
He
who's
was
the
gonna
general
trade up.
manager of the California Redwoods, was gonna trade up. Didn't happen. He goes to Maryland. Michael Leo, sixth overall pick, and then obviously
He went to Joe Spallina's
he
Redwoods.
did. I don't think I think and not the only draft pick by Joe Spallina, Dante Bowen in the fourth round, and obviously Billy Dwan there in I think the second or third.
He went to Maryland as well with Joey, and then I think there
So that'll
was
be fun. Luke
Michael
Rowe.
or Luke Roa went to the Atlas.
Yep. So five guys for Syracuse, men's lacrosse get drafted in the PLL. And then last night was actually the inaugural
First, yeah.
women's professional lacrosse league draft. Emma Muchnick got drafted, and so did Coco Vandiver. So a lot of Syracuse draftees in the lacrosse world. Syracuse women's lacrosse plays today, as we mentioned. against Boston College. That will be a very, very fun game. Coming off of a quadruple overtime, 10-9 win.
Unbelievable.
That one was absurd. I was watching that in its entirety. I would say thank you, Caroline Trinkus, for ending that game. A buzzer beater lacrosse goal doesn't get much better than that. Really fun
Yeah,
one there.
when it says 4-0, you think
Yeah.
like, oh, someone probably scored, in the middle of the fourth overtime. No, this was literally as close to the buzzer as you could have it. I mean, this was like split seconds away from going to a fifth overtime.
Longest game in Syracuse women's lacrosse history. They go for win number 13 in a row against Ballinger College today. That opening draw is at 5:30.
Can
Follow
they do
WER
it?
Sports on
Can
X
they do
for
it?
live updates. I don't know.
They've
I
lost
think it was
eight
just a Kayla
straight.
Trainer. I think it was a Kayla Trainer curse. And maybe Gary Gate had some troubles against Boston College as well, when he was the head coach of Syracuse women's lacrosse. But this is Reggie's squad, and to end the regular season on a 13-game winning streak, as Syracuse won the game and dropped to four in the rankings, which I think is very disrespectful, as well. So it'll be interesting. That one will be exciting. We'll break that one down on next week's pod, and that'll be right around time for the ACC tournaments. Maybe Syracuse goes on a run in that
I
one
still
as
got them in the
well.
championship. I think they're the second best team. I think they're set up for a rematch with UNC, which they were giving them a trouble. They were giving them trouble before UNC was deemed to be beatable by Northwestern. I mean, Syracuse was the first one to take a lead into halftime over them in quite some time.
Women's lacrosse world, anyone can beat anyone, just like the men's. So that's what's made this season fun. I still think North Carolina's the far and away best team in the country. I don't care if Northwestern beat them. I think the Tar Heels are just too hard to beat. They have the best player in the country, Chloe Humphrey, by far, and they're going to be a wagon. But who knows when that bracket will come out.
This team hasn't lost since February 20th. I mean, this team
I
absolutely
know.
has a shot. They are in this,
No,
so.
I agree they have a shot, man. And they were winning that game for a little portion of it.
Yeah,
So it'll be
they were leading
interesting.
at half.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see if Syracuse can get that job done. Any final thoughts before we conclude things up? Basketball, lacrosse, spring football, weather, Chipotle, all the normal
Chipotle for me,
topics.
no. Ooh, no.
I know.
No,
Josh.
it sucks because it's kind of winding down, right? Like you get crossover season where it's just awesome because all these teams are playing and none of them are good, and then now it's just the heat of men's and women's lacrosse. I think it's pretty cool that the men's lacrosse conference is only five teams because you can literally have no ACC wins heading into the final week and you could still win the ACC tournament. And Syracuse won as the four seed last season. Looks pretty good to be a lock to be in. I think it's probably going to be Duke that's the odd one out this
Yeah,
year unless they
they're a
string
lock.
together back-to-back wins. But yeah, I mean, it's postseason time almost, so we're ready.
It's exciting time for lacrosse, exciting time for basketball transfer news. If you can stay up to date on WER Sports for all basketball transfer portal news, Ostrom Avenue Podcast on Twitter as well. We'll have some coverage there. But for now, Griffin and Joss, we'll see you next week. Make sure to listen to previous episodes of the Ostrom Avenue Podcast wherever you get your podcasts or on WAER.org. Stay tuned and have a good week.